Hello and welcome to Yelling at the Screen. Tonight, they killed his son. They left him for dead, but now he's back for revenge. Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy star in A Man Who Has Returned, supposedly from the dead. That's technically what Revenant means. I looked it up on Google.
I didn't know that. I learned something new already.
Yay! You're welcome. All right, so The Revenant, guys. What are your initial thoughts on it?
I really, really enjoyed it. I wouldn't watch it again. I appreciated the cinematography and a piece of cinema, but I didn't like this. I know it's a true life story, but I wasn't a fan. So
yeah, it did strike me as that kind of... You can tell. I mean, even if you describe the plot of it, I just can't get the idea out of my head that it sounds like an action film when you really think about it. But it's basically all the main plots of that typical action film with just 20 minutes of walking in between them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I loved The Revenant. I thought it was a really fantastic achievement in a lot of ways. I mean, especially the cinematography. I mean, they achieved everything simply using natural lighting. They didn't use anything artificial. They only used computer-generated effects for the animals. And yeah, I mean, just everything about it just really works to pull you in and just immerse you in this frozen wasteland in general.
Jasper, anything to add?
Yes, well, not really too much to add. I did thoroughly enjoy this film when I went to see it. Well, I was really surprised, actually, because in the screening I went to, there was a group of people sitting behind me. And when the credits started to roll, they just said, well, that's 2 hours of my life, I'm not going to get back. And I kind of wanted to turn around and go, did you watch the same film I did? Because I was really quite enthralled by the whole experience. It was a real journey. It was, and a lot of films can't, like, don't often do that very well, where it is about the journey and not the destination. Yeah. It really, really is that, and it's about going through this whole landscape, as everyone's been saying so far, and critically. And I really thought the performances really stood out. As a result, I think it was a great landmark for film in general in 2015.
Yeah, it's one of the many films that DiCaprio has been nominated for an Oscar, I believe. He has got an Oscar.
Yeah. He's got a nomination.
Okay, just confirming. Because I think after that, and if he didn't even get a nomination, he'd just go, that's it, I'm done. I'm officially done with all this.
Chances are, yeah, I think he would.
Yeah, do you guys think he'd win? Like, what do you...
I wouldn't be surprised if he does, because the people that vote on the Oscars for the winners, they tend to take into consideration if there's been a good stint on the actor's part whilst filming, yeah, and the effort and emotional things that they have to go through in filming. I think that they'll credit him for that, yeah, and all of the work that he did, because things like he ate heart that he ate?
He had to eat something raw, which I saw it. I think there was a clip of it, actually, and only a tiny clip of it in the actual film, for like 5 seconds where he just crawls and then just eats a bit of the raw buffalo, and I thought, was that it? I was expecting to hear like proper Game of Thrones Khaleesi eat the heart thing.
It felt like he was trying to up himself from Django Unchained. You know, when he makes himself bleed by accident and crushes the glass. He's right this time.
Yeah, that hasn't worked. How can I top that? What is the way I can top that?
Yeah, no, that I find it funny, but no, it was really great. It was really impressive. It must have been tiring filming it.
Yeah, I know. Because like you said, they only used natural lighting and that sort of thing, which means they had to get it right on a single, you know, a single day. And if not, then they have to wait exactly the same time.
It was only an hour and a half's worth of filming a day, I read.
There was only a 4-hour window, I think, where it was actually enough light to be able to actually compose an image that the actors could work in. So it was almost like an Apocalypse Now level of sort of dedication to the film. There were a lot of hiccups along the way, from what I heard. Yeah. A lot of sort of production mishaps, and they went way over budget, from what I recall.
And I'm not surprised.
And I'm not surprised as well, because it's a very ambitious project. Just to say, and I know Alejandro Iñárritu, the director, he doesn't work like that. He's very, I guess, a belligerent director. If he wants a certain style done and he wants to do it in a certain way, he will not waver from that in any way to make it easier. He's very gritty, very, very real, I think, as well. And I believe, because this is his second collaboration with Emmanuel Lubezki.
Yeah.
After Birdman. And you could tell with that as well, that sort of dynamic that they have, those two. They work very well together. He's very much a technical director, I feel. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, I've only seen two of his films, one of which was The Revenant, and the other was a film that was pretty much entirely one take. So
yes.
I can't really disagree with you there.
Oh, okay.
I thought it really suited the film. I thought it was really worth it. them pairing up and the amount of effort that they put into it with the shots and the lighting. He did the whole continuous shots thing again, like in Birdman. It really worked well with the vistas. It made it. That was what made the film for me. Like I said, I wasn't too interested in the story. Bits I felt dragged on a little bit. It wasn't really keeping me. But
were you not immersed in the time when Leonardo DiCaprio was walking? Was that you weren't immersed in that?
Walking and staring into the sunset.
Yeah, but and occasionally he grunted.
The views, though, it was gorgeous. It was absolutely stunning. I found myself sat there for however long? 2 hours? Hour and a half?
2.5 hours, I think, the running time.
Very long.
2.5 hours. I was just sat there thinking, wow, this is gorgeous, is what I really got from it anyway.
Yeah, I did a bit of digging into the director's mindset behind The Revenant, and he's actually come out to say that if... he did it the easier way. So if he did all of the backgrounds as computer generated and he just had all of the actors just sitting in the warmth, just having a good time, then the film would have turned out to be pretty bad. He's actually come out to say that. So to see that kind of dedication from the director, I think is really something special as well, which really, really, really gets across the kind of effort and the painstaking detail that really went into it, which I really appreciated as well.
Yeah, I'm genuinely scared of what his next project's going to be. How is he going to top that? Maybe he's going to shoot it in space or something. Or in the
Earth. No doubt he's going to have to come up with some kind of a revolutionary new filming technique. First off, he did single takes. Second, he did natural lighting. So, well, who knows what he might have in store for us next.
He's going to do a film about actually colonizing Mars. Perhaps. If you're listening, Alejandro, we have an idea for you.
If he gets us there, I'll watch that film.
Yeah. Alejandro Iñárritu directs The Martian 2 in one take.
Going
to have to wait for NASA to actually get there themselves first, I reckon.
So guys, what do you think about the bear scene?
Yeah, that was actually pretty scary stuff. Even though it was completely done with CGI, because obviously a real bear would have been pretty dangerous. Yeah. They managed to, really capture that, the really frightening aspect. You know, you feel as if he's really being mauled viciously there.
And I wasn't too wowed by the bear scene, to be honest. Everybody kept saying that was the scene where everything, it's so real and so awesome, and you can't help but notice it's the one bit of the film that actually has CG, and I noticed that and that put it off. I mean, if they got a real bear, that would have been impressive. it would have been life-threatening, but it would have been impressive.
Yeah, admittedly, I mean, the bear bought me out. It's obviously a CGI bear, but there isn't anything... I don't have an alternative, so I can't criticise us. They're thinking like, it's obviously CGI. But then I was really impressed with, it's the bits where it's like stomping on his head and walking all over him.
Oh, yeah.
And it genuinely, there was a little bit of me that was wincing, like, oh. It genuinely felt like it was stamping on his head.
It was a very uncomfortable scene, I think, throughout. And the whole anticipation of it, especially when he finds the cubs, and you just know there's going to be a bear. The mother's going to be behind him.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things they teach you about if you go to the woods is don't get between a bear, a mother and their cubs, or you will have a very, very bad time. And what I was really amazed with that scene is the whole reason that this became a real struggle for it. Because if he just sort of walked across the landscape by himself without having all that damage done to him, it wouldn't be nearly as impressive. But the fact he went through that, and that had to show that it really had to really escalate to a point where he couldn't even move, and he spent half the film tied to a stretcher because of that attack. And it was one of those scenes, and I think people talk about it was because of its intensity compared to most of the film, where it's focusing on these like massive vistas or just the internal conflicts with people. That was the one, like one of the few real scenes where there was actually some kind of action, like a real sense of conflict between man versus the elements. If that makes sense.
The film's length in general was extended the way it was just to emphasize the scale of the time that he spent out in the wild. It's kind of like with 12 Years a Slave. I mean, that's another really slow paced film, but if you think about it, the main character in that film was a slave for 12 years,
as the title says.
So you've really got to emphasize that time, you know, just really sort of hammer it in, so you feel like, whoa, you know, this guy has been sort of away from his family, away from everything he held close to him for so long. And it's a similar thing with The Revenant. I mean, he has to slowly crawl back, and I think if I'm not mistaken, it might have been maybe 200 miles or something like that, which he had to basically crawl all the way back to just to get to safety and all that.
I felt it watching it.
Yeah, I know. Because when he was, I found it quite weird that he just got. I understand that he had a severe injury, which, by the way, I should say, the makeup they did on his back to get all that pus and blood and all that.
Oh yeah, it was amazing.
That was just Jesus Christ. I genuinely thought of 12 Years a Slave when I saw that first time. I haven't seen anything that brutal, but I mean, I get that, you know, he was unable to move and they kind of left him for dead, but then he just was able to start walking again. Or at least he got to a stage where he could walk in. I feel like that, I don't know, you probably would have died straight away from that. In my opinion. I'm not an expert in bear attacks. It's not a...
The story it's not suggests
an
in, otherwise.
It's not an interest of mine. But I don't know, I just found it weird that he was completely stuck in that... What's the word for it?
Stretcher,
yes, that is the word, thank you. And then he just starts crawling, and then he starts running. And he does all that running. And I get it could be stress that he's trying to be killed by Indians and by other stuff. But I don't know, I felt like...
I felt like the passing of time wasn't as on it there as it was for the rest of the film. I didn't understand if it was supposed to be that he suddenly got from being bedridden to he's legging it across. he's legging it in a day, or well, it wasn't a day, but it felt like he was fine within a couple of days, and I didn't feel like they recorded that bit as well as they could have. But maybe that was just me not paying enough attention.
It is the one detail that they sort of leave out, I guess. It could have been natural remedies. It could be just the simple will to survive. I guess none of us have really been in that situation. So
he's just crawling and then he just falls on a plate of aloe vera and then he's fine. And he just turns to the camera. I was sick by this.
Yeah, I think if you look at it on a deeper level in terms of the metaphorical, I always saw it when he was literally buried alive. I saw it as a rebirth, as in man being reborn. Ooh. Crawling, taking his baby steps, and then coming full stride.
I think that was
probably what they were going for when they did that. That whole, it wasn't exactly one straight sequence of him suddenly coming out the ground, crawling, and then just being able to walk normally again. It was a very, very slow, long process. But he was literally reborn from the dirt, from the land. And I think that was one of the sort of themes of that entire movie.
You make that sound so profound.
Yeah.
Because he's risen from the dirt to act as revenge. Yeah,
what's the definition of The Revenant again? Have you got it written down?
I Googled it 5 minutes prior to recording. It was basically, was it someone who has returned, typically from the dead, is usually used to describe someone in that sense. So it does fit. I'm glad it fits.
They thought he was dead, but he came back.
But he isn't. And now he's back, bigger than ever.
What I do want to talk about that I really was not a fan of at all were the dream sequences. Like, what was going... What were they?
With his wife? I'm assuming his wife, he doesn't actually say anything.
Yeah, I was watching it and I didn't feel like it worked.
Yeah, I agree.
It didn't add anything.
I do agree with that, actually. That's probably one of the few issues I had with the film, is it didn't really fit. And another one as well is that there were, I believe, including her, there were two female characters in the entirety of the movie. And the other female character is quite brutally raped. And we talk about Hollywood being sexist, and you look at a film like The Revenant, which is currently at the moment is being cited as like the front runner for the Oscars, and obviously did very well at the BAFTAs as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do look at that and you go like, yeah, there is probably an issue of sexism in this film.
I think everything's connected.
Yeah.
My only justification that I would have for that is that obviously it is all based on a true story, and there is only so much that they're going to change for that, and it was all traditionally a very male orientated
I think it might have been a product of the times. I think in general, same thing with the accents as well, which personally that was my one little nitpick, that occasionally Tom Hardy's sort of words exactly like that. Yeah, it was pretty hard to understand, but then I kind of think to myself, yeah, it's probably all part of the time period as well, isn't it? So
I didn't have a clue what he was saying for the whole thing.
Neither did I just got the fact Tom Hardy is angry. Okay, now he's stabbing someone.
Yeah.
He's still angry. He's still angry. I'm following his character progression here.
And it's just like, wait, he's not angry. Nah, he was just pretending.
Nah.
He's a very complicated man in that movie, I feel. Very, very complicated. I'm sure he was went through a lot. And actually, while we're on that point, we should probably talk about the performances. I'm mainly with the main two leads, Leo and Tom Hardy, Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, but there were like other ones who did a good job as well. Like Will Poulter, I learned his name. He's formerly known as the Eyebrows Kid from The Maze Runner.
Oh, really?
He's got to that stage now where we're actually allowed to say his name. So, congratulations, kid.
My housemate did lean into me and went, hey, that's the kid from The Maze Runner, isn't it? I was like, yeah.
The eyebrows.
No, personally, I thought that Poulter did a fairly decent job. I mean, you know, plays the young, inexperienced kid who's constantly being manipulated by Tom Hardy's character. And I mean, I think the emotions that he put on display were genuinely believable. Does everybody else agree?
No, yeah. I absolutely loved him. I thought the performance was great. Whenever he was on screen, I really felt like he was in this constant struggle with the other characters. I really believed it. It was one of the characters that I empathised with the most, I'd say.
Yeah, it was also the guy. I know his name is Donald Gleason, who's he was the colonel, the lieutenant, Leo's friend. Donald, we have to go save him. I just can't get over the fact that that is the guy from About Time.
I haven't seen
it. The Richard Curtis movie.
I saw it a couple of years ago.
Because I can't get that image out of my head. Because first he was in this, then he was in Ex Machina, which he still kind of had that sort of character. Then he was in Star Wars, in which he played...
That general, wasn't he?
Practically the equivalent of an SS officer. Now he's this. I think, wow, this guy has got range.
He has been very, very busy this year. He has done so much. He's a very versatile actor. And with this, I think he's got really a good chance to... Had a good chance to sort of really extend that range, as you said. With those, he was a strong character, but I do feel from his performance, he didn't really bring too much to the table. I think his part was a necessity, as in the when you think of it as in the voice of reason, the sort of leader of the party that actually went out before they were ambushed, and he was sort of the calling point for back when they're at the base at the fort. And really, it's him who's supposed to be the like head authority while he's out there while Leonardo DiCaprio is by himself, and obviously he does face a bit of a bitter end. In the film, which I don't know if it was deserved, but...
Deserved,
as in, like, you know, did he really deserve to be sort of killed in such a brutal way?
I don't know if the guy actually was killed. Because, again, this is a character who's based on a real person, so maybe he was killed in that?
So I think this is a... The Revenant is a fictional retelling of this story of these fur trappers.
Yeah.
With Hugh Glass in particular, who actually was... a real guy.
Yeah.
I think Dominic Gleeson's character, looking it up now, is played Andrew Henry, who was the captain of the party that did go out. But I know for a fact, because I did look this up, Tom Hardy's character, John Fitzgerald, was not actually killed by Hugh Glass, because he joined the army, I believe, as an officer, and Hugh Glass didn't kill him because obviously the penalty that would carry for killing an army officer. Just a little fact for you about the
technically in the film he wasn't killed by Hugh Glass either. He was actually, remember at the end, he was basically scalped by an Indian.
Right
there. So I guess technically there's a way there.
It's you know, obviously with like when you look at historical accounts like this, and you need to make conflict interesting, it would kind of suck if it just at the end of the film is like, oh, I can't kill you, or I can't let you die because you're an officer now, you got away with everything, killed my son, and
that would have been quite anticlimactic.
My favourite bit of the film was that scene. I absolutely loved it,
where he just lets him go.
Yeah,
down the river,
shoves him in. Yeah.
Just their fight onwards. I couldn't stop watching. Really enjoyed all of it. Like I had no flaws with it at all.
Yeah, that fight was just so brutal. Although when I was watching it was, you know, very well acted, very well filmed. I couldn't get over the fact that there were just bits of snow, miss of that, on the camera, on the lens, and I just like, guys, could you maybe clean that off? I'm trying to watch these two very attractive actors fight each other. Can you just?
You're bringing me out of it. But no,
with your nature.
I thought I liked it. I thought it was really, really great to watch. I thought that it was very good. I thought it was really in keeping with the character, though, the way they did that. Yeah, it made Leonardo DiCaprio's and his acting throughout the film, it really brought it to a nice rounded close for me. It really felt in keeping with who he was trying to play, and it made it feel a lot more real.
Leo's acting, I thought, was really, really physical based. I mean, he wasn't given too much to say, but, you know, just sort of the sheer excruciating pain that he's going through. Leo portrayed that brilliantly. I mean, just sort of the basic facial expressions and his body language. You know, he really sort of got that image across of a guy who's literally struggling to survive against just about everything. I mean, the elements, the animals, all sorts.
Yeah. And things like when his son dies as well, and he does basically all of the acting with just his face. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really, really clever. And you could tell that he was putting absolutely everything into it. And with no words whatsoever, you really felt that heartbreak of him losing and having to watch all that he's got left. It was horrible.
Yeah. All right, so quick question. What would you say is your, out of an entire 2.5 hour runtime, what would you say that one scene that really stood out to you?
I've already said mine's the end bit.
You're all looking so deep and thought.
I think I've got mine. It's I think it's the scene where I kind of realised the chemistry between Tom Hardy and Leonardo DiCaprio, which was perfectly executed. The scene you just mentioned where his son dies, mm-hmm. or his son is killed, where Tom Hardy is trying to reason with Leonardo DiCaprio about killing it, just letting him by saying just blink. And you have that gaze, that moment where they're sharing, and you know you really can tell, because you could tell both of the characters want something. Leonardo DiCaprio, he doesn't want to die, and you can tell, and he's trying his hardest not to blink, but Tom Hardy's gaze just will not leave him, and he's just waiting for him to blink, just naturally, without him making that decision. And you can really tell that Tom Hardy has always had carried this ulterior motive. He's always wanted him to go. He's always seen as a burden, and he just wants to go out for himself. And it's just that chemistry, because they're not actually on screen together for most of the film. It's only really the very beginning and the very end where they do actually meet and they clash. But it's that scene there between those two, which are the two leads, the two probably the most important performances of that, where you can really see that conflict just without actually any dialogue. And that was a really important scene to me, I feel.
Yeah,
it was very intense. And we mentioned before, in the technical aspect, where with the long takes, they just didn't break away from that. And that just made it even more intense, because it's like, you, as an audience member, you can't really look away from that sort of thing.
Yeah, just with that scene, because you just said he was waiting for him to blink naturally, to give him that sort of thing. So what if DiCaprio, I feel, the easy way to get out of that, he just winks one eye and winks another. I can imagine the long tracking shot where Hugh Glass is there just going, I'm going to do that. Oh, I'm going to blink. No, I got to wink. I could give this up all day. You think I'm going to do it? Oh, my son's come back. You're dead now.
Bit of teasing.
Plot twist.
No, that was a really great scene. Like I said before, it was really horrible and really uncomfortable to watch, in a really good way, obviously. Like, it was great for the film. And I really felt like I was there. It felt like I was involved.
For me, I'd say my favourite scene could be the opening. I mean, the opening attack in which the fur trappers just get absolutely slaughtered by these Indians. You know, it's fast, it's brutal, it's intense. It grabs you straight away and just pulls you into this world. And you know, as they barely make it onto the boat, you see people getting put down left and right. You know, it just puts across the visceral nature of the film. From the offset, and from there, I was just completely invested.
Oh, yeah, I think that was my favourite scene as well, because I looked at that, because naturally, as soon as it opens, that scene where it's just it cussing across water, you think, oh, this is going to be such an artistic film, we're supposed to take in everything, and
not quite,
take
yeah.
in the natural beauty. 5 minutes later, holy hell, what happened there? Just all these fire arrows and people dying, is just, yay. As I learned from last time, that is what I like in a film.
I did find it very impressive, though, how even in the fight scenes, you still managed to... They still kept up the quality of the filming and those really lovely long shots as well. And it, for me, that definitely added to... Because I'm not a big, like... I'm not watching a film just for the fights. That really added it for me. Those really lovely, long, beautiful shots at the beginning. It really took me on a journey and helped me see all of the fight from every angle, as if I were there in the film with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember one scene that I looked at when in one of the many scenes where DiCaprio is walking, when he just looks up and there's a shooting star or a meteor just flying across the screen and he's glaring at that. And I looked at that and all I could think of was, it's from Birdman. Are you trying to link all your films together? You're not Quentin Tarantino. You can't do that.
Interesting. If he actually is doing that.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, it could just be him trying to sort of put out his own auteurism, just him saying, like, this is my style, like, you know, this is unmistakably me. Yeah. But with the long shot, I don't think in any of his films it's ever felt gimmicky. With Birdman, it was like the whole film's done, or is done to look like one take, like, without really any cuts. I think there's maybe one or two cuts in that film. But that never felt gimmicky. And with The Revenant, it was a lot more subtle. There was moments where, you know, the camera has been lingering for quite some time, or the camera is following the characters around the room. But there is a purpose for it. And as you said, with the fight scenes, it actually makes you feel involved. The scene I just mentioned where the two characters are talking with each other and he's negotiating for his life just by using his face without any words at all. And it's like those shots are really kind of what bring the film together. And they really do give it a very common theme, and it doesn't ever feel like it needs to be a gimmick.
Yeah, the other thing that I think's been really underappreciated in the film are there's a lot of the shots, obviously, when he's stopping and he's getting water and things and washing in all of the rivers. And I think that there's obviously no dialogue in all of it. It's just him on his own for some five minutes or so at a time, which is quite a lot on the screen of no action, no dialogue, really. But still, I was still watching. I was really paying attention, and it was holding my view, and I was really impressed.
You're watching 5 minutes of DiCaprio bathing.
Yeah, no, I just found the shot so incredible, and where he's going downstream, it felt like I was surrounded by the water. It felt like I was there watching it with him. I thought it was amazing. I was sat there like, wow, like I just sat and watched Leonardo DiCaprio do nothing for 5 minutes and still really enjoyed myself. Like.
That's typically what most people enjoy.
Well, one of the things I really appreciated about the film in general is you have this general ambiguity to a lot of the characters. I mean, yeah, most of the action follows Leonardo DiCaprio through the whole film, but a lot of the factions, they all just have their own motivations. I mean, True, again, but you know, he's going after Tom Hardy and that, but there's not really any proper heroes and villains, I find. I mean, the Native Americans, they just want their land to be theirs, and they want the white man out, basically. Tom Hardy, he's got his own selfish desires. The French, they want to keep their trade routes going on time, and so yeah, I mean, in general, everyone's just playing off each other. It's why the Indians didn't just sort of shoot DiCaprio at the end because obviously they wanted to get their daughter back as well.
Yeah.
So that was another thing I liked.
Yeah. I think another thing that just popped in my head was the horse chase. You know, the one where he just wakes up and then all these Indians just completely chasing after him, and then falling down. The bit where he falls down and the horse just hits it just falls down the tree, and he has to, you know, the only way he's going to survive is if he cuts open the horse and stays in it.
Taunton style.
The only thing I could think of throughout the entire thing, I really wanted him to turn to the camera and just go, and I thought they smelled bad on the outside, and just give a smile. But
what made me think was, you know, when there's a Bear Grylls show and he goes, I can't remember what he climbs inside of, possibly a dead seal. Okay. I just wanted him to
start cutting
open and giving a survival tip.
This week on Man vs. Wild, when your best friend kills your son, this is how you survive.
Well, who knows? Maybe you might see something on the blooper reel on the Blu-ray when it comes out.
Oh my God.
You never know.
The bloopers for The Revenant must be fantastic, because I can imagine for all those long takes, all those extremely difficult and well-executed takes, if one person screwed up, that would ruin the entire thing. I would love to see one where it's just one guy who tripped himself over it or said something he wasn't supposed to, and Alejandro just losing himself. It's like, we've been here all day. We have to do this and the next day. If we fail, just do your job, damn it.
But no, very, really grueling filming. Like I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if they get the Oscar just for the sheer effort that everyone's put into it. With the characters having their own motivations, I thought that they really, really did an excellent job of us understanding the characters and feeling like they weren't just there, they weren't just in a film. You got that they had other purposes, they had other desires, other drives, and they did an excellent job of making sure that the characters had a good amount of depth.
All right, so what about scenes that you didn't like? I've already heard from you that you didn't like the dream sequences, which a lot of people didn't. I didn't mind them because they weren't too surreal. They were just there for a few seconds just to give them a bit of visual backstory, which was fine. But no, I wasn't too bothered by them. What about you guys?
Going back to that, I would probably say I didn't like those scenes as well. It did kind of take me out of the story a little bit, and I thought it was just a little bit too Inception, as in Leonardo DiCaprio sort of pining for his dead wife in those scenes, because it did feel like they came out of... It wouldn't have surprised me if they came straight out of Inception.
Best plot twist ever.
Yeah, and it was just him, and that whole sequence was just a dream. And then you hear the boah at the end. That was my one gripe with it. It just felt too... like it was trying to copy sort of style of other films, because it wasn't at all necessary, I felt.
I just found it so gimmicky in a film that has been all about realism and making you feel like you're there, and again, like with all this only using natural light and minimal CGI, and then they put in these dream sequences. It's like, why are you doing this?
Absolutely. It would have been, because they were going for like a raw film without all these, and it didn't need, and it was probably trying to add to some kind of symbolism about what it meant. And I'm sure people will, looking back at this film after they've seen it 10 times and they've analysed it to death, what those scenes actually mean. But yes, it is a very realist production, and having sort of a dream sequence that is very surreal. Especially there was a moment where he's standing outside a tomb, I think constructed out of skulls. That's what I recall. And even that, I was like, "What? No idea." But like, probably
also,
like, looking back.
Also, the bit where his son, where you think he's hugging his son, but in reality he's just hugging a tree. I looked at that. I know I shouldn't have had this reaction, but when I saw him there and he's hugging a tree, I just kind of went, "Aww."
Well, I agree with both of you. I mean, the dream sequences, I mean, they didn't go on for too long. But yeah, I think that they were a little bit intrusive. I mean, if they just sort of, if you took them out, then the movie probably wouldn't be missing too much. If they literally just kept it focused on this one guy's struggle for survival, then it could be a near perfect film.
They weren't offensive. I just feel like it's almost that they lost faith in what they were doing, and they went and had a little panic, and it's like, maybe we should add something extra
background.
They shouldn't have worried about it so much,
because there was one moment in that where it does illustrate because early on in the film it's talking about how, you know, DiCaprio's character killed an army officer, which is why he's now a fur trapper out in the wilderness. And they do use that as a moment to sort of have a flashback to sort of say, yes, this is the case. But they could have done that in a different way. It didn't need to be extended. It wasn't an extended dream sequence, but sort of intermittently cut. And it just it really did just sort of drag me out of it a little bit, because you're on this journey with this one character for almost the entirety of its running time, and then to just cut away from that where he's where he's clearly comfortable. And I know it's sort of him pining for the comfort, but at the same time, I don't want him to be comfortable with his memories of his past. I want to see him, struggle. So I feel much better for him when he actually does get to civilization and he does actually get that warmth he craves.
Yeah, it just retracted from the authenticity for me.
That's what I thought with the bear as well. Because when I heard all this sort of controversy of how they did that and how they showed that, I genuinely thought, oh my god, did they get an actual bear? Oh my god, that's amazing. That's so revolutionary. Oh, it's CG. So I was admittedly kind of let down by that. But other than that, it was still a great scene, and still overall a very revolutionary film in terms of style of filmmaking. Like I said, I'm genuinely scared of what he's going to do next.
No, definitely.
I fear for the actors. I wouldn't be surprised.
He's going to have to get like Daniel Day-Lewis is going to be the only guy volunteering for it as well. Everyone
be the
else,
last man standing. In
everyone
his
else,
production.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's got a lot of new things up his sleeve. I mean, he already took Best Picture for Birdman last year. Could he do it again with The Revenant? I think so. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I definitely think so. I mean, did any of you guys follow the BAFTAs?
No,
I didn't. Received quite a few, didn't they?
They received, they led the wins, I think. They weren't the most nominated, but they won some quite key categories, including best film, best actor, Best cinematography, best sound, and best director. So, and those are, you know, that's, I think that's something like 3 out of the 5 ones that most people try and go for. And I think that's a pretty good run. I mean, obviously, best actress they can't because there's no actresses in it. Or if they do, they don't really say anything, which is,
best
shame.
Rape scene.
And you can't have best screenplay because most of the time, no one says anything. Yeah. I would like to see the screenplay, and it is just Leonardo DiCaprio grunts, Tom Hardy slightly grunts.
Tom Hardy grunts. Yeah, then grumbles. There's a knife, and then he grunts.
Just pictures of angry faces.
Well, to be fair, Tom Hardy didn't really say too much in Mad Max either, and that film still managed to take the other half of the BAFTAs, I believe. So,
It did. Well, that was mainly the technical side, the crossover, like best costume and stuff, and obviously, And it's amazing that Mad Max actually is nominated for so much.
Didn't DiCaprio win Best Actor at the BAFTAs?
He did.
So at least he has that.
Yeah, so basically,
worst case scenario, he has that.
So basically, the thing is, DiCaprio now has a Golden Globe for Best Actor, a BAFTA for Best Actor, and all he needs now is the Oscar for Best Actor to complete the trifecta.
The Triforce, and then the secret to heaven will be unlocked.
Golden Globes tend to be a good indication of who's going to win big at the Oscars anyway. So
does give him a bit of a boost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I do think, I don't know, a lot of people say, oh, I feel so bad for DiCaprio because he hasn't won an Oscar. Well, he's been nominated 5 times, in which, don't you get like, did you hear that the sort of gift bags that they give out, gift for people at the Oscars or the BAFTAs, they, I think it was, can't remember which one after the Oscars, but it was like a gift bag of stuff and products that was worth like £200,000.
Yeah,
it's like a consolation prize. Thanks for coming. Yeah, so here's a free gift bag.
So that means that DiCaprio has had at least $1 million from just turning up to a party alone, and considering the amount of Golden Globes he's won, all the stuff that he's done, all the people he's worked with, it's quite difficult to feel sorry for him. I mean, obviously you want him to win an Oscar, but you don't really feel like, oh, his entire acting career has just been defiled because he hasn't won this one Oscar.
Oh, no, certainly not. I mean, I'd say this year at the Oscars, I'd say DiCaprio's biggest competition is probably going to be Eddie Redmayne in from The Danish Girl, and he actually took the Oscar for Best Actor last year. Yeah. So could he do it 2 years in a row? Guess we'll have to see.
If he does, DiCaprio's just going to look at Eddie Redmayne. I am watching you. If you do this 3 years in a row,
probably.
I am hunting you down.
I think it is a big case with Leonardo DiCaprio of right film, wrong time.
Yeah.
It just always clashes with a big player.
Yeah.
I think this is his year, mainly because the other nominations, they were okay, but Oscar-worthy, probably not. And that's probably why Leonardo DiCaprio has the best shot this year. Yeah. And this certainly isn't his best performance. So people will probably complain, saying, why did he get an Oscar for this, but he didn't get an Oscar for something like, I don't know, Titanic or The Aviator.
Oh, that's how it goes.
And that's just how it works. No one wins an Oscar for their best film. They
but
just
Titanic.
Get,
yeah. Yeah, for his performance in Titanic.
I have a friend. Picking names at the end.
I have a friend who
was nominated for back then.
Yeah, I have a friend who hated his performance in Titanic. So when I'm going to send this to him and say, hey, someone thought he'd win an Oscar for it. He will just to make him.
Not necessarily. He wasn't even nominated. I don't think, was he? No. But that's because obviously that won a lot of Oscars, and then just when he's like best actor, probably not. Seems to be the case with him. Leonardo DiCaprio attaches himself to a project, doesn't matter how good it is, he just won't get an award for it.
I mean at the same time though, I mean, anything could happen. I mean, last year at the Oscars, Boyhood had literally been sweeping all the awards everywhere, and then right at the very end, Birdman just managed to grab the best picture. So you never really know, I guess. It's one thing that taught us last year, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, I guess I can say that DiCaprio definitely knows how to choose his films, because I saw something very recently that he turned down the role to play Anakin Skywalker in the prequels.
Oh yeah, Star Wars prequels.
I just can't help but imagine like the alternate reality. What if he took that? What would happen then? What films now would we not have if he took that choice?
I don't think even DiCaprio would have been able to work around Lucas's bad writing.
Yeah, no one terrible can. Writing in those films, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Pretty sure he could do a film where he just treks across the entire Northern Isle with a lightsaber. I think that would make an interesting film. All right, so let's wrap this up. Just a final verdict, essentially. So overall, would you say The Revenant is worth seeing? Do you think it's worthy of its acclaim that it's all it's getting?
Definitely worth seeing. I mean, hell, in the review I wrote for it, I gave it top marks, 5 out of 5. Yeah. I mean, apart from a few little nitpicky things like wonky accents and maybe some dream sequences being a bit intrusive, you know, it's a fantastic film. Just go see it.
Yeah, I definitely think this is it's the front runner for a lot of the awards at the Golden Globes, at the BAFTAs, and hopefully at the Oscars, and it's for good reason, I feel. I feel that it was a very strong film, especially in 2015, where it's been a great year for movies, in all honesty. And this is just, I do feel like this is one that people will revisit, maybe not rewatch, but this is one where there's a very clear turning point, I think, especially with Leonardo DiCaprio's career, Tom Hardy's career. It's a very performance-driven piece of cinema, as opposed to, yes, the landscapes are beautiful and it's really wonderfully shot, but I do think without the performances that the actors gave, it wouldn't have been quite as important in 2015 as it has been rated to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a definite must-see, even if this isn't your type of film. There are just, it's got so many different things going for it that it is a piece of cinema that, even if it's not the kind of thing you'd normally go and watch, you definitely should.
Yeah, I definitely think it's one of those films that you kind of have to see at this stage, especially since, do you guys think it'll win at the Oscars, or do you think the Oscars is going to be the one that just won't give it anything at all?
No, I think it's going to go for it big.
It's got a lot of potential to take a lot of awards. Yeah, well, I'm hoping it does.
If it wins every category except Best Actor.
That would be a crushing blow.
That's it.
A very crushing blow.
I can imagine him just storming out of the room right there. But yeah, overall, I think it's still a great film. It's one that you need to see. I don't think it's one that you necessarily need to see a second time. It doesn't have that sort of replay value to it. It's more of that sort of experience. But it is 2.5 hours of a lot of tracking shots, a lot of DiCaprio walking. So I guess just be aware of what you're going into. It's not the revenge film that maybe we would like to hope it would be.
It's not Taken. Let's just say that. Yeah, leave it at that. And whether or not you think that's a bit bad or a good thing, you should still go see it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, say we wrap it up there. All right, well, thank you for listening. This is Yelling at the Screen. I've been Tom Chukas. Special thanks to Robin Elizabeth Moran, Rob Kane, and Jasper Pickering.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Brilliant.
Yay!
Yay! Nice. You know, I actually really enjoyed that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's good.